Well, good morning and welcome. Before I get into our new series today, we're kicking off something new, Gods and Demons. For those of you that are here and you came with your child and wanted to go to Trunk or Treat and you boldly stepped into this church, maybe checked your kid in, I applaud you. I applaud you for coming in and taking some time to spend with us, to worship God, to learn about God. And I pray that you are blessed by the service and that you just feel loved and welcome here as well. Now, let's dive into today's sermon. 2 months ago, I was just looking for a place in my personal study to begin to just read and dive into, and God led me to the Gospel of Mark. And for the most part, I typically read the Gospels, like I'll just read them in entirety as we're leading up to Easter and just, you know, looking at Jesus's life. But for whatever reason, God was like, go read Mark. And I'll be honest, of all the Gospels, I would say Mark has never really been my favorite. I'm a John Gospel guy. Anyone like the Gospel of John? And not to say that the other ones aren't good or that Mark is bad. I usually gravitate towards John, but I felt the Lord leading me to Mark. And so I start reading Mark, and like right out the gate, the thing that is so glaring to me and so obvious to me is the references and presence of the demonic throughout the gospel. And so I just started making note of that and recognizing that. And I'm reading through and I'm just like, man, this is something that's really prevalent. And, you know, it's always been there, but for whatever reason, God kind of had me laser focused on that. And so from that, I began to pray and study some more. And as I'm, you know, considering like God leading me to start this series, there are a few other pastors that I follow. One I met earlier this year, he actually just kicked off a series back in October on the same thing called Jesus and Demons. And I reached out and I'm like, hey man, what led you to this? And he's like, yeah, I just felt like this was a season that God wanted me to teach on this. I'm like, that's awesome. And we were going back and forth. And then there's some other pastors that I follow that are speaking on the same thing or have read or wrote books on this subject that I began to digest as well. And then I'm hearing mentions of other people kind of going down this route. I'm like, man, like God is wanting to say something and reveal something to us. And so I said, all right, I'm gonna pursue this, and we're gonna teach about this. And so as I've studied and I've learned over the last 2 months on how to kind of expose the enemy's tactics and how we can begin to combat against the spiritual attacks of the enemy, guess what's happened to me? I've felt attacked, like more than ever, especially in the last 4 weeks. So we'll go all the way back to the beginning of the month. I'm in here working. I was probably making myself some coffee and just checking out something. I love coffee. So, and I was working on something, and I was just fixing something. I was up on like a three-step ladder, and I started getting real dizzy. And I was like, well, maybe I should get off the ladder, right, first thing. So I get off the ladder, and I'm like, I'm not sure what that was. And then I'm just like, the entire room is spinning. I'm going to go sit down. And almost passed out. It was so bad, like for the next hour, I just sat in there. I couldn't move. Like anytime I turned my head, so I had to call for help. I had my good friends, the Smiths, who live close. They came in here. I couldn't walk to the car. He went back and got my chair and rolled me out to the car because I was going to pass out. My daughter came to pick me up, took me home, and for like the next 3 or 4 hours, I was just like completely out of it. And so I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, get me a doctor's appointment. Something's going on. I go to the doctor's the next day. He checks me out, and lo and behold, guess what? Nothing. What? Don't you hate when that happens? Like, come on, my leg's falling off or something, right? Give me anything to help me with what just happened. Nothing. So I'm dealing with that, and it was just wild. And on top of that, I will just honestly say to you, this month, some of you close to me have been like, oh, okay, I kind of recognize that now. Like, I have been more irritated, been more frustrated, have felt more angry and more negative than I have ever felt. To the point where, like, I was actively avoiding people more than I usually do. You know, like, because sometimes I do that. But, like, more so, like, I didn't want to be around anybody. Like, the only person or people that I wanted to be around, I love my kids, was my wife and Cohen. Like, that's where I wanted to be. That was my safe place. The rest of you are dead to me. Like, this is just honesty coming out. Okay, this is how I was feeling. I believe it was this first, like, a spiritual attack. And so I'm just dealing with that, and I'm reaching out for prayer with some accountability partners, and of course my wife, and just going through it and just, you know, recognizing that it's a spiritual attack and it's trying to get me, you know, just distracted from what God wants to do. And so then we get to this week, and me and the staff had planned to go to like an all-day conference on Tuesday, and I was on my way. I told my wife, I don't even want to go to this thing. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be around people, but I pushed through it, and I'm so glad that I did, and I went, and I was so encouraged, and just, man, just felt the love of God and the presence of God, and it was a wonderful day, and I called my wife. I said, listen, I'm so glad I came. And so I had a great day, Tuesday, and then I'm on my way home, and it was in Orlando, so it was about an hour drive, and 10 minutes before I get home, my wife calls me, and I'm like, this can't be good, okay? It's 9:30, and my wife's calling me, and she goes, hey, I'm sorry. And I'm like, great, okay, here we go. Let's see what's going to happen. She goes, I hate that you're going to come home to this, but I was just sitting in our bedroom, and all I heard was water running down our wall. Come to find out, there was a problem with the upstairs toilet. Someone had clogged it, some of my littles didn't know it was clogged. And so one of them went in, did their business, flushed the toilet, and just walked out, and then the toilet overflowed down into the wall and into the wall into my room. So at around 9:40, I got home and had to tear out drywall, tear down ceiling tiles, and it was great. And I'm like, I feel uplifted, and then the enemy's like, yeah, you like that? Oh, here, take that. And I'm like, man, oh, and then, here you go, you ready? Just toss in two hurricanes in the midst of all of it, right? Thank you. Wonderful stuff. And I'm going, man, the enemy is coming so hard at me right now. And I'm like hyper aware, like he is trying to thwart what I'm trying to do and exposing his tactics. And so if he's going to come hard at me, I'm going to go hard at him. And I'm going to go after him during this series. And I would encourage you to join us for every single week. So are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready for that? Are you really? Yeah. With knowing what I just went through? Let's go. Okay, here we go. We're going to dive right in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Here's what it says. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Here we go, verse 12. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. You know, I think it's really easy for us as we go through life to kind of point our finger at other people or other people groups. But at the end of the day, here's what we know. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these spiritual forces. And so there's really, I know we can say, hey, that person's my enemy, or that group of people is my enemy, but it's not about a people or a people group. And so we're in in the political realm of things. Some of you have already voted. Voting's coming up. And so there are many who will go, Kamala Harris is the enemy. There are many who go, Donald Trump is the enemy. Right? And at the end of the day, like we look at those two individuals, those are our enemies. But then some of us go broader and we're like, you know what? It's all Democrats. They're the enemy. They're evil. And then people are like, no. It's the Republicans. They're all bigots and hate everybody. Okay? And so then these people go really broad and they go, you want to know who the enemy is? It's the government. Yeah. They are out to get us. They are all indoctrinated with demonic spirits and want to kill us, right? Anyway, and so they're not the enemy. Now, I want you to understand that they aren't. Because at the end of the day, guess what? Jesus died for Kamala Harris. Amen. Jesus died for Donald Trump. Amen. Jesus died for everybody in the Republican Party and everybody in the Democratic Party. All of them. And your sin's no different than theirs. Theirs is just put on display for a lot of people. So it's not about that. So while they're not the enemy, they can be used by the enemy. And so, yes, I'll say Kamala is being used by the enemy. Others say Donald Trump is being used by the enemy. And you want to know what I'll say to both of those things? Yes, they both are. And the enemy is using them to divide, right? Because this is one of his greatest tactics. This is what he wants to do in everything. He wants to cause division in your marriage, with your spouse, with your kids, at your workplace, in your church, in our country. And so, I look at everything that's going on, and for the enemy's tactics, what better way to divide a country than political or ideological division, especially within the church? And the enemy goes, if I can get some of those Democrats in the church to hate some of the Republicans in the church, I can begin to destroy the church from the inside. Not just about destroying the country, but I'll destroy the church. And that's what he wants. Disunity. Now, I'm using political figures, again, because of the proximity to the election. And it's already caused so much damage. I've had so many people tell me about, like, friendships that they've had for over 10 years that have been dropped because someone is voting differently than them. And they're both Christians. And it's so sad. And so, at the end of the day, I'm talking about this, but it's really any person. This rings true of any. People are not our enemy. We fight against spiritual forces of evil. Our enemy is not seen. It's unseen. Our enemy isn't overt. They're covert. Our enemy isn't overly obvious. They're devious. Now, I will say that as our nation has gradually drifted away from the reverence of and following God, the enemy has become more overt and obvious with his tactics, because sadly, his ways, his views are being more and more accepted by people in our country and even in our churches, where there are entire churches who are now apostate and entire denominations who no longer believe in the biblical truth of the Bible, because the enemy has caused them to come over to a belief that is not God's word. So, as we dive into this series, we're going to peel back the veil. I want to open your eyes and mind right to the reality of the rulers, the authorities, the powers of spiritual forces at work. And as we dissect the idol worship, the demonic persuasion, and even possession in the Bible, that I would help you see it and help equip you to combat against it in our lives today. Before we dive into the rest of this, I want to pray, so let's pray. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for everyone you brought today. God, may they know that you have them here today at this service for a reason. May their heart and their mind and their ears be open to what you want to say to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to kind of look at how this all started. Anybody know where it starts? It starts with Jesus. Jesus. Listen, when Jesus shows up, the demons come out. And what I'll say is they come out and they are cast out. So Jesus shows up and the demons come out. Now, if you do a quick search, a quick study of Old Testament, a New Testament, and you begin to look for references about demons, you're going to find that majority of it is in the New Testament, and really, it kind of just goes down to the Synoptic Gospels. And when I say Synoptic Gospels, it's Luke and Matthew and Mark. Those three Gospels, as you read them, they kind of intertwine, they connect, they share stories in different ways, and then John comes in, and he's like, I'm going to give you something. It's the same thing, but a little different. That's why I love John. He's different. I'm a little different, and so that's why I like him. So we have these three gospels. Majority of the demonic references are in these. There's about 49 references to demons, or in some translations it might say evil spirits or unclean spirits. And as you look at all these references, you want to know who's right in the thick of it? Jesus. He's right there. Now, with them being synoptic, of course, as you look at the 49 references, there are going to be some crossover. They share the same stories, and so you got to break it down. And from those 49 references, we get 16 unique references to demons. And of the 16 unique references to demons, you have Jesus performing 7 miracles of casting out demons. Now, 5 of those take place in Mark. We're going to kind of deep dive into Mark throughout this series, because that's where God led me. And but before we do that, like I'm showing you, it starts with Jesus, and we begin to see really the presence of demons because they show up when Jesus shows up. But I want you to kind of go back with me to the Old Testament really quick, because we're going to kind of go back and forth. If you look through the Old Testament, relatively, there aren't many mentions of demons compared to the New Testament, as in the Old Testament, it focuses more on idol worship. creating, graven images and the cow and the, you know, these poles and all that stuff and foreign gods rather than specific demonic figures. And so we're going to talk about the worship of the old gods and how they're still prevalent today. But as far as demons go, it's more prevalent in the New Testament when Jesus shows up. Now, one read through the Old Testament with the New Testament in mind, you begin to see all of it. Like your eyes are opened up to see the presence of the demonic, but it just begins to take form and more clearer form as Jesus shows up. And so while there are indicators of demons in the Old Testament, the language of demons becomes more distinct when Jesus enters the scene. And so Jesus shows up. And due to his divinity, what do I mean by that? He's fully God and he's fully man. Due to his divinity, being in the presence of the demonic, you and I are able to read and see and hear about tangible evidence of the demonic presence. But I want you to understand something. The presence of demons didn't just show up because Jesus was on earth. They were already present. Jesus showed up and he kind of pulled back the veil and revealed it to everybody. Again, Jesus' divinity caused the demons to kind of act out in his presence. And at the same time, of course, Jesus is hyper aware of the persuasion and possession of demons in individuals. You know, I kind of equate this, and I talk about this often. Like the moment we give our life to Jesus, we become a new follower of Jesus. I talk to so many new followers. Like I'll hear they'll give their life to Jesus, and then like a week later, they're like, man, like I feel more attacked than I ever have before. Like, I thought I was going to give my life to Jesus, and some of these things I was dealing with were going to go away, and yes, that does, but here's what happened, ready? As you confess and profess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you were given the Holy Spirit, and as you're given the Holy Spirit, your eyes are opened up to the spiritual forces that are all around you. And so where you didn't see the spiritual attacks that were taking place, you begin to see them. You're more aware to them, where you begin to recognize in our life things that we didn't recognize before. We begin to go and look back and be like, man, there were evil forces at work that were attempting to keep me from Jesus, from the church, from God's people, from experiencing joy and happiness. And now that you have Jesus, now that you have the Holy Spirit, well, guess what the enemy's going to do? He's going to change his tactics. You got the Holy Spirit, now I'm going to come at you. And so now, so you go from no belief to then maybe kind of feeling criticism of your belief. Because again, you go home, you tell, you know, maybe you tell friends, you tell your spouse, you tell your kid, you tell other people that aren't Jesus followers that you're now a Jesus follower, and they're like, really? You believe in that stuff? And then the enemy begins to work to get you to doubt what you've done. And then you begin to look at the purpose of your belief. Like, is there any reward to really living for him? And again, the enemy changes the tactic, but now, because of the Holy Spirit, you're more aware to what's going on. And so Jesus enters the scene, and he helps us see the dark spiritual forces. You know, I was telling you, I was just as I was preparing for this, I was just, you know, certain people were doing certain things and telling me about certain things. And one of the books that came up recently in conversation was a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Anyone read The Screwtape Letters? Man, phenomenal stuff. So I was talking to multiple people, and after last service, I had one guy who teaches at Warner said, he's like, I'm teaching my students that right now. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. And so I would tell you, if you want to kind of get some inkling of what it might look like as far as what the demonic is attempting to do in your life, listen to Screwtape Letters or go and read it. Now, let's dive into Mark and look at the third miracle Jesus performed. And this is the first dealing with the demonic. And we'll get to that. You can leave it up there. Here's the deal with Mark. And this is why I love this. The other Gospels, if you get into them, like, they take time to talk about Jesus' birth, right? And you get, some information about his lineage. And in John, he has this awesome thing. He's like, in the beginning, Jesus was there. And there's this guy, John. But you get to Mark, and you want to know what Mark begins talking about? Demons. Chapter 1. 3 mentions of demons. And he's like, yeah, all that stuff's great, but I need you guys to understand how real this is and what Jesus came to do. So let's look at the first reference of demons in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and right away he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching because unlike the scribes, Jesus was teaching them as one having authority. Now, this is so important. That's why I have it underlined. But pay attention to this word authority throughout the rest of the message. Just then, a man with an unclean spirit, a demon, was in the synagogue, and he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus, Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked them and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him. Jesus did nothing but show up, and the demon got scared and was cast out. I mean, think about that. Just the authority that Jesus' presence had, and all he was doing was teaching God's word with authority. Verse 27, they were all amazed. They began to argue with one another, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with what? Authority. He commands the unclean spirits and they obey him." Verse 28, news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. Again, that word authority stands out. Jesus' authority. He was teaching with authority. The demon recognized him and just kind of, I almost want to say like he couldn't help it. He blurts out in fear and he's like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus is here. Like, dude, what are you going to do to us?" Like, it's all in fear because they are cowering in his presence, in the presence of the divine authority. But not only do the demons recognize his authority, but so do the people. And they go, no one has ever taught this way or possessed the amount of authority that Jesus did. And again, don't miss it. Like, all Jesus did was show up with authority, and the demons were compelled to cry out in fear. The demons were there all along. They just never had a reason to reveal themselves until Jesus showed up. And they were scared because of it. And then what happens? It says news about him spread. And yeah, it spread to human beings, but you can be sure that it also spread to spiritual evil beings. And so everyone's hearing about this. And maybe you're like, "Yeah, this is fascinating. And I love reading about Jesus and all the stuff that he did and how he cast out demons, but how does that relate to us today?" I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you. It's a great question to ask. How does it relate to us? So I said there are many references to demons, and we'll see references as Jesus gives his disciples, watch this, authority to do what? To cast them out. Look at Mark 3:14. It says he also appointed 12. He named them the apostles to be with him, to send them out to preach, and to have what? Authority. To do what? Cast out or drive out demons. And so then we look at that and we go, okay, if Jesus gave his disciples authority to drive out demons, and then later after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to them and to us to carry out all of this that he's told them, then wouldn't we, as his believers, receiving the same Spirit, be given the same authority to recognize and drive out the demonic? This is the really important thing, because you've got to begin to ask yourself that. But the important thing is this: how can you have authority to cast out demons if you're too ignorant or unbelieving of their presence? Because I think for a majority of us, we don't want to enter into that realm. We kind of want to keep our eyes down and just let that be whatever it is and not deal with it. But in order for us to have authority to cast them out in our own lives and the lives of our loved ones, we gotta recognize it, we gotta believe it, and we gotta begin to combat against it. There's this old adage, you probably heard it, you can't believe in God and not the devil, and vice versa. You can't believe in good and not evil. You can't believe in angels and not believe in their twisted counterpart, demons. They all exist. If one exists, so does the other, but this isn't something we talk about. Show of hands, how many of you frequently talk about demons within? And I'm not talking about like the shows you watch that include demons, right? And you're like, you love, it's like your favorite character is one of the demons. You're like, "Yeah, I won't be like him." We'll talk about that in a minute. But like, really, like, you have frequent conversations, like on the weekly, about the demonic presence. You see, majority of Jesus' followers, they just don't discuss and pray against the presence and persuasion of demons in their lives. And I think that, you know, really we got to come to the following questions. And maybe these questions have been on your mind before. Or maybe they are now as we're entering into this. And you go, well, Do demons exist today? Do demons still have the power to persuade us today? And do demons still possess people today? Do we believe that? And if we believe that, what are we doing to combat that? What are we doing to pray against that? Or maybe we say, you know what? I've read through the Bible, and I know the Bible, and I think this was just something that was prevalent in Jesus' day. You know, Jesus showed up, the demons came out, he cast them out, and so maybe it's not a part of what we're dealing with because of what he did on the cross. Okay. We looked at Gospels, we looked at Old Testament. Now let's dive into after the Gospels and see what references we get to the demons and the unclean. As it is in the Old Testament, you don't find many references after the Gospels in the New Testament of demons, of unclean spirits. There are about six. You'll find them in 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, James, and of course in Revelation. And they mostly focus on the influence of demonic forces through false teaching, idolatry, and visions of a spiritual warfare in Revelation. If you know anything about Revelation, it's kind of a future prediction, which is taking place now. And so one could come to believe that the demons descended into hell as Jesus ascended into heaven. It's positive thinking, but let's look at some of the scriptures that we do have in the rest of the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4:1. Here we go. Paul warns that in later times, some will depart from their faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Then we go to Revelation 9, and some of you just avoid Revelation altogether. You're like, I'm not even ready for that. Mine's not ready. I don't even know. I don't understand. Okay. Revelation 9:20. In the vision of the end times, John describes people worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, and stone. What do you recognize there in both of these things? Later times, end times, following, worshiping idols and demons. What does later times, end times refer to? You ready? Now. It's right now. And so, if history is any indicator, like biblical history and our recent history, the presence of demons has not changed. They were around in the Old Testament, they were around in the Gospels, they were around in the New Testament, they're around in our lives today. You see, one of the great tactics of the enemies is to get the Jesus followers to think otherwise. Or in the very least, even for those who do recognize and believe in the activity of demons, we dare not discuss it for fear. Right, of what other people might say. Being called crazy, being called, you know, you're going overboard with that. You're a little bit too religious. And for those that really believe this and go after it and maybe take it too far, we go, I think they have a demon, right? I mean, they even called Jesus. They said that he was possessed by demons. And so we don't want to touch it. We want to stay away from it. And as if that's not enough, due to society's advances in technology and with it all this plethora of information, like we've come to more knowledge of how things work, and with more knowledge of how things work, we've drifted away from belief of the things in spiritual realms and of the fantastical and of the miraculous. And the entertainment industry hasn't helped us. As a matter of fact, the entertainment industry has slowly led us to a fanatical view of evil spiritual forces, where our favorite shows, our favorite movies, our favorite pastime involves the demonic, and we're completely blinded to it. Or we just shove it off and say, you know what? It's just a show. It's not real. It's no big deal. But what we are doing, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is we are welcoming evil in to our hearts and minds and into our homes. Now, go a little bit further for us Central Floridians. We'll drop hundreds of dollars to go to Halloween Horror Nights and pay to have our hearts and minds infiltrated by evil. Now, hold on. Don't get all up in arms, my Orlandonians, and you love your all that stuff. I'm not coming at you trying to judge you here. But I do need you to be aware of the enemy's tactics. You may be just going to have fun, to get scared. And the enemy's going, that's just the little bit that I need. And then you walk away the next 2 weeks and you wonder why you feel like everything is falling apart because you allowed the enemy to infiltrate your heart and mind And you go, what's happening? I went to church. I've gone to a group. I've been praying. But you're also allowing all this other stuff infiltrate. And I think, and we'll get into this because I'm getting ahead of myself. This is something I want to talk about later. But like right now it's Halloween and people are going to Halloween Horror Nights. You might have planned to go tonight. Don't go there. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. If someone's like, this church, I don't think I can come here anymore. Well, they didn't get me started on Disney. A lot of y'all would just leave. So anyway, okay, here we go. Now, despite our fears and even just a chosen ignorance, and I'm not trying to be mean, like we're just choosing to ignore it, we must look at the truth of the Bible. What's the Bible say? And we'll take a deep dive. Like, what does Jesus say? Again, because when Jesus showed up, the demons came out. And he cast them out. And so what that means is that Jesus believed in them, he encountered them, and he cast them out. And on multiple occasions, he gives his disciples the authority to go. And it's not just the 12. Because there are many that say, well, it was only the 12 apostles. This was a part of their apostleship. It was a part of them going and starting the early church. And as the apostles were removed from the scene, so was the authority and power over the demonic. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to give you an argument against that. Because not only does Jesus send out the 12, there are a story about how he sends out 70 disciples in Luke 10. And so here's what it says. The 70 returned with joy saying, all 70, it's not just the 12, even the demons submit to us in your name. So what are they doing? They're going out and doing what he said, go cast out demons. Verse 19, it says, look, I have given you authority, there it is again, to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will ever harm you. And then in verse 23, turning to his disciples, he said to them, the eyes that see the things that you see are blessed. What are the things? They're talking about going and casting out demons, and they see the reality of demons and being able to do that. And in seeing and believing in the evil spiritual forces, we are blessed because we are able to then combat against it. Not let it in, not let it infiltrate, but begin to combat against that. And so my desire today is that your eyes would be open to evil spiritual forces that are at work. And they're, guess what? They're attacking your heart and mind. They are attacking your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your friends, right? They're attacking, right? And they're causing political division. For some, they're lulling you into spiritual apathy. For others, they're tempting you with addiction and bondage. For others, they discourage you in depression and loneliness. And for many within our country, the spiritual forces are attempting to confuse you about your feelings and your sexual identity. This is the spiritual attacks. These are the things that's going on. And we can point at all these other things. Well, my parents, and this, and that, and this something that happened. It's all a part of the enemy's tactics. And our eyes need to be open to the real enemy so that we can begin to defend against him. Now, in Luke 10, I purposefully omitted a passage that I wanted to share with you right now. And so the disciples come to Jesus, and, you know, I think, granted, like, they're excited that they're able to do what Jesus did, right? Jesus, you gave us authority. Jesus, we're able to cast out demons. And watch what Jesus says to them in verse 20. He says, however, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Your salvation is more important. What I've done for you is more important. Yes, be aware. Yes, do what I've told you to do, but rejoice that you have been secured by the blood of the cross. And so this is a warning to not allow ourselves to get so deep into the belief of the spiritual adversary that it overwhelms us and causes us to lose sight of our salvation and helping others grab hold of it. We gotta begin to see. And really what this is, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the following, that Jesus is already victorious over the spiritual forces that desire to destroy us. Already. Yes, we need to be aware of it. And yes, we need to combat against it. But at the end of the day, he's already victorious. And so we need to remember that. We go and we say, the eyes that see what? The eyes that see that Jesus risen after his crucifixion, they are blessed. The eyes that see Jesus as both Lord and Savior of their life, they're blessed. The eyes that see the need to share Jesus with others, they're blessed. The eyes that see spiritual forces of evil and combat against it, they're blessed. Now, what I want to do is I want to jump back to the Old Testament now. I love how the Bible, if you don't know this, it all connects. The Old Testament is just as important. The New Testament, all of it points to one man. His name is Jesus. So let's go back a story in 2 Kings before I pray us out, chapter 6. There's this prophet Elisha who's done many miracles. He's a prophet of God, and as he was doing things for God and preaching God's truth, he made enemies. That's what you'll do. If you stand up for God's truth, you're going to make enemies. If you don't think that's going to be the case or it shouldn't happen, just read the Bible. They killed Jesus because they stood up for the truth, and it's time for us to start standing up for the truth. Anyway, I'll get back to this. So Elisha has made someone angry. I don't remember who it is right now. I just want to show you what's happening here. And this guy sends his entire army. And so in verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. And so he asked Elijah, oh, my master, what are we to do? What's Elijah say? Don't be afraid. For those who are with us outnumbers those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And in this moment, he gets to see God's army. It's got his back. And so while we do need to be aware of the spiritual dark forces, never forget of those that God has given for us, and that those who stand for us are much greater than those who are against us. Be aware, see the reality, combat against the reality, and remember that God's got your back. Would you guys join me in a word of prayer? God, the prayer today is that hearts and eyes will be opened when it comes to things in the unseen realm, specifically against these dark forces. Sometimes we don't want to believe it. We don't want to talk about it. We just want to ignore it. And I just think we've done that for far too long because of our lack of desire or inability to discuss this with our kids, in our churches. The enemy has begun to capture hearts and minds because we weren't doing our job to open their eyes to protect against it. So open their eyes. Let them see. Yes, let them see the spiritual forces of darkness that are coming after their heart and mind and after their relationships and after their kids. But also open their eyes to your presence in their life, to the power of the Holy Spirit that is promised to every believer, to the army of angels that covers the mountains. They're at our back. May we see it. And as we see it, and may we begin to prepare to combat against it, using your word, using prayer, using worship, using a community of believers. May we stand together and combat against it for our own heart, for our own mind, and for those we love. God, I pray that as some here today have their eyes opened and begin to peel away the grip of the enemy in their life, in their kids' life, whatever it may be, God, I pray for protection over them. Because when we start exposing the enemy and his tactics and calling him a liar and telling him to get out, he'll start ramping up his attacks. May we have boldness and courage to stand firm in our faith, in the belief that Jesus is already victorious and that he is for us. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.